Welcome back to the God's Peculiar People podcast. Today is probably one of the hardest podcasts to record because we're talking about Judas Iscariot, and I'll explain why I found it so hard as we get going. Welcome to the God's Peculiar People podcast, where we learn about the lives and characteristics of God's people. So I find Judas hard because there are so many thoughts on his betrayal. Why did he choose to betray Jesus? What caused that? What instigated that? And we're going to talk about that here as we get going. But I do find it very hard because there's so many thoughts, so many opinions on why this happened. And some of it goes into Calvinism a little bit. Was this preordained before the foundation of the world that Judas Iscariot personally would betray Jesus? And so I have some thoughts on that. We'll get to that as we get going here. But let's first talk about who we know Judas was from what we read in the Bible. So the name Judas is a Greek name that means praised, while Iscariot, Judas's surname, is synonymous with the words traitor and means a person who betrays another. So whether this was added on after his betrayal, or if this was something that was already part of his name beforehand, and maybe his whole family was of a line of traitors and betrayers, I don't know for sure. But if you hear the name Judas or the name Iscariot, both of them together, separate, you think of traitor, much like here in the US, the name Benedict Arnold has the same idea. You wouldn't name your child Benedict Arnold in this day and age, because it just means a traitor. So how did Judas Iscariot go from a follower disciple of Jesus to the world's most famous betrayer? That's a good question. So the New Testament refers to eight different people by the name Judas. Thankfully, we have the surname Iscariot to help distinguish this Judas from the others, as we know another disciple also kind of goes by Judas sometimes. And we find Judas first mentioned in the list of disciples. That's his first mention. He's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each of those lists. And in each list, we are told like a hint or a clue at the beginning of a mystery that something is going to happen because Judas is called a traitor and the one who betrayed Jesus. So there's much speculation as to where Judas came from and who he was, but we want to focus on the why. Why did he betray Jesus? Like the other 12 disciples, Judas saw the miracles Jesus did. He saw the blind receive their sight, the lame able to walk, the sick healed, and the dead raised to life again. He sat at the feet of Jesus, one of the 12 who'd been selected to come close and learn from Jesus, to be taught of Christ's coming death and resurrection. Judas was among those sent out to bear witness to who Jesus was among the cities and to given the power in Jesus' name to heal people. So what happened? What changed? Honestly, I have to admit, I think that nothing changed. That was the problem. Jesus knew Judas's heart. I believe that Judas was a chameleon. In John 12:6, it is recorded that Judas was a thief. When a woman came to Jesus offering a prized possession, a pound of spikenard, and poured it on Jesus' feet, Judas was upset. John explains that Judas questioned why the ointment, rather than being offered as a sacrifice to anoint Jesus' feet, had not rather been sold for 300 pence, the equivalent of about $45 today, and given to the poor. Had you ever noticed that? If we read John 12, verse 5, let me read that for you. We'll read verse 4 and 5. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? We're going to read verse 6 as well. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Judas knew exactly how much the ointment Mary offered Jesus was worth. He knew it wasn't 150 pence. It wasn't maybe 50 pence. He knew exactly that it was worth 300 pence. The significance of the offering and the heart of Mary meant nothing to Judas. He only saw the loss of 300 pence going into the coffers that he controlled. This was so important to Judas because he was the one holding the bag. He managed the money. And it was so important to him that he felt the need to mention it. He was not a faithful and true manager, as John records that he was a thief. How much he may have taken from Jesus is of no significance. He took what was not his and what was intended for Jesus' work, to feed and probably pay for lodging as they traveled. But from this word thief, it gives us the idea that he took some of it. Maybe it was just a little bit. Maybe it was more the intent that he planned to wait until there was a bunch and take it? I don't know. We just know that John refers to him as a thief, which makes us think he took some. Judah's heart was not attuned to the things of God. You probably sat in a service with someone and thought the sermon you heard was powerful or helpful, but the person sitting next to you may not have heard a word. Their mind may have been preoccupied with work, worry, or when time change as you sit in church at noon about lunch. But Judah sat, hearing, seeing, yet he ignored the truths. He did not let the seeds of truth sink down to his heart. He knew the right words to say and the right actions to take, but he was focused on what he could gain. This fact becomes clearer when we read in Matthew 26:14-15 that Judas sought out, that Judas straight out asked the chief priest, "What will you give me if I deliver him unto you?" Also in Luke 22:4-5, it says they covenanted to give Judas money, which implies that Judas requested payment, and there was a discussion regarding how much Judas wanted. The price agreed on was 30 pieces of silver. Looking up the value of that amount in today's money, I was surprised. While online estimates wildly vary, it is thought that 30 pieces of silver could be worth anywhere from $90 to $3,000. In contrast, in Florida today, a confidential informant for the government could be paid about $5,050 a month or $60,000 a year to inform on other people. So Judas took a one-time payment to betray a friend because he was motivated by greed and one other thing. Both Luke and John in Luke 22:1-6 and John 13:27 record that Satan entered into Judas. Satan's goal from the time he tempted Jesus to throw himself from the top of the temple and let the angels catch him or to turn stones into bread was to destroy Jesus. Going all the way back to the beginning, in Genesis 3:16, we learn that Satan knows the scriptures and the prophecies. But Satan, like everyone else, did not realize that Jesus came to die. He thought he was coming to take over the kingdom. Everyone expected a Messiah to come with power, overthrow Rome, and set up his kingdom, which he will do. But first, Christ had to come to die, to conquer sin and death. Satan believed that by Jesus dying, he would have ruined God's plan. Instead, in the manner in which Jesus died, when he died, fulfilled God's plan. So Judas's act of betrayal fulfilled the scripture. We see that the 30 pieces of silver was prophesied in Zechariah 11:12-13, and that the betrayal of Jesus by a friend is found in Psalm 55:12-14. Following Judas' kiss of betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was taken from the Sanhedrin to Pilate. It was at this point that Judas repented. He returned to the priest, telling them, "I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Judas seemed to have realized that he went too far. Perhaps he thought the priest would just speak with Jesus, but when the Sanhedrin condemned Jesus to death and delivered him to Pilate, something seems to have clicked in Judas' mind. Judas then returned the money, threw it at the feet of the priest, and made the decision to end his life. From shame, remorse, regret, Judas made the choice that life was no longer worth living. The thief on the cross, realizing Jesus had done nothing amiss, but for his crimes, he was worthy of death. Yet when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," Jesus told that thief that he'd be with him in paradise. We see Judas repenting of his betrayal, but we do not ever read of Judas declaring his belief in Christ. Now this is my question for you, and it is a question that has been debated. Was Judas a believer, but blinded by his greed? Or was he a tare among the wheat, used by Satan to thwart God's plan? Whatever thought we might have as to Judas's eternal destiny, in the earthly realm, we read in Acts that the 11 remaining apostles chose another man from among Jesus' disciples to fill Judas's place to round out the 12. Now, this is a sad end for one of Jesus' disciples, but Judas' life is a reminder that people can appear to believe. They can know the right words, but they may be lost. And we should never assume that because someone attends church, that they are saved. It's very easy to blend in. So I'm not saying you want to assume that everyone in your church is lost, but there should be a bit of hesitation to say that someone else is saved. We cannot know that every person has put their faith and trust in Christ. There are many, many people who have grown up in church who know the right words, they know the right action, but they personally have not made that choice to believe in Christ. There are many people, I've heard stories of so many people, Sunday school teachers, pianists, people who've been in church their entire life, and then one day they realize, wait, I've heard this all my life, but I have never personally made that decision. So it's not to say people are being trying to be deceptive. I think Judas potentially was, but for others, they're not trying to be deceptive. They just honestly believe that I've been in church, I've heard this all my life, I'm a Christian. But yet have never personally made that decision. Growing up, that was something that I was taught, was that I personally had to make a decision. And some people have never been taught that, that they need to make a personal decision to trust in Christ. So many people just think that, hey, I'm attending church, I've heard about Jesus, I believe that Jesus is this good man, I believe these truths, I believe what I'm hearing, but they have not realized that sin issue. The reason that Jesus came was to pay for sin, that they are that person who has sinned, that they are the one of the reasons why Jesus had to die, because they're not perfect. They've sinned, they've done wrong, and so Jesus came to die to pay for their sin. And for so many people, sadly, that is not, it's not always taught that it has to be that personal decision. It's kind of just a collective, we go to church, we are Christians. But that's not the case. It is a personal decision. Each of Jesus' 12 apostles, disciples, they were called to be a disciple for Jesus. And that was their choice. So Judas is a hard person to talk about. I tried to very carefully explain my thoughts and opinions here on Judas. But there are many widely different ideas on Judas. You can read lots of articles online about it. There's lots of books, commentaries have comments and thoughts on it. And I'm going to just leave it at that, I think. Maybe we'll talk about it more in the future. Maybe I can find someone who can come on and talk to us about Judas. That'd be fun. And we can discuss further some of the opinions that are out there, some of the speculation that's out there regarding Judas. But I think the biggest thing to take away is that there can be people who are working right alongside you, serving right alongside you, who may have never made that decision for Christ. And so that's something we should be aware of. And if someone says all of a sudden, they've been in church for all their life, and all of a sudden they say, hey, I got saved. That's a good thing. We should celebrate that. Don't make them feel bad. Because, hey, we want them to know personally, for sure, that they have accepted Christ. And so as a church, we should be very happy for that person. Even if they've been in church their entire life, 30, 40 years, and then suddenly they realize, oh, I've been playing church this whole time. I have not made this decision. We should be very happy for them. And it would have been great if Judas had made that decision to not be there for whatever his purpose was, whether it was, ooh, I see a good, easy way to make some money, to steal some money here, whatever his true motive was. If he had realized and listened more closely to what Jesus was saying and believed that Jesus was the Son of God, I mean, someone was going to betray him. Ended up being Judas because the intent of his heart was wrong. All right, so that's what I've got for Judas. There are definitely some more things we could discuss. If you have a thought or opinion about Judas, feel free to leave that in the comments on Instagram or on YouTube, or you can send me an email. I do not claim to have all the answers. This is just a simple overview, a few thoughts that I had about Judas. So thank you for listening today, and have a great week. I'll talk to you next time on the next God's Peculiar People podcast.